the situation might be and whatever the need might be in the hearts of these people. Lord, that we may say something, Lord, that would edify. God, take away from our mouth and our lips, Lord, something, amen, that would be carnal or something that would not be right. Lord, we ask you to put in our mouth, Lord, words, heavenly words, celestial words, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful power and presence that we feel. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, for the unction that comes by. Oh, Lord, we ask you to help each and every one of us in this service, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I would like to say we appreciate the opportunity to preach here and to speak. We're missionaries to Mexico, and some of you know us and some don't. And it's always good to see everybody. Whether we know you or we don't know you, it's always good to see good folks. Amen. Anywhere that God's people gather together. I was thinking recently of how the PAN, which is the political party that has won and taken power in Mexico recently, which was a couple of weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, they are now in power, and they're a pretty rough bunch, if you know what I mean by that. Amen. The PRI has been in power now for possibly 70 years, and being that they've been in power for 70 years, it means that there's going to be quite a bit of change here. And see, this PAN leader, the president, is an ex-Jesuit. They say he's an ex-Jesuit, but I believe he's a present-day Jesuit. And some people may have heard of what exactly a Jesuit is. A Jesuit priest is one of the Catholic religion's most feared person, amen, behind-the-scene man. And that can take over, can kill, can do anything, amen, to defend the Catholic Church. And right now we're fearing the fact that we could, amen, fall into a situation where the churches could be closed down. And we earnestly are asking everybody across the United States to pray, amen, because God definitely has some churches in Mexico that are probably under this fear, and so I want you to pray for us. Amen. There's a lot of good stories to tell and a lot of good things to say, and we won't dwell on the bad side of things. Amen. But God's been good to us. God's helped us. We're pastoring a church there. We've been there since November of 98, and we started that work in Pánuco, Veracruz, which is about 400 miles in past the border. And God has been with us each and every day. Amen. We started off with about 16 people. And that was not what we started off with to say that we took a church. It was 16 people that we had our first service that we just picked up along the side of the road. Amen. Just people that we knew, friends that we knew. None of them were Christians, really. Amen. But we brought them to church. And I knew God was dealing with my heart to pastor a church in Mexico. But I just never wanted to buckle down and do it because I didn't want the responsibility. Amen. But I figured that God was with me, and we had that first service, and three souls got saved that first service. Amen. And God kind of just threw it back in my face and said, "What else do you want?" Amen. What else do you want? So we went from there, and now we're running about 100, 110. Amen. And God's just blessing and helping us, and healing has just taken place. Amen. Across that town there, God has really been with us. Praise the Lord. Some of you may remember the story that I told the last time I was here. Amen. Edgar was a man that was in the mafia. I don't know. Is somebody out there may have remembered that. But that man in the mafia has married my sister. And say he was in the mafia. He got saved. He married my sister. And God's now working through him. He's a minister. He's a preacher. And now he's trying to start a children's home. And he's got about 28 children in holding that are from the government. And also, he's got about six children or so, amen, in the orphanage right now. What he's waiting for is another piece of paper, amen, that will give him the okay to take in children, amen, from the government. So I'm praying for him, and God's helping him. He's preaching now. He's preaching the word. He's not scared to preach anywhere. It don't matter who he's talking to. Amen. He'll walk up to somebody and his process of getting his papers in order, getting his marriage license, getting his birth certificate, all that he didn't really have. It were all fake. And he tried to get them. He tried to get the real thing. And so through the process, people would walk up to him and say, well, you know, you can get this quicker if you give me about 500 extra bucks. Amen. And he said, no, I've done things crooked all my life, and I'm not going to do things crooked anymore. Amen. He said, I got saved. Praise God. Jesus has changed me. And if you want to know the Lord, repent from your sins. Amen. Whether it be a lawyer, whether it be what they call a diputado, which is basically a congressman. Amen. A representative. Tell them that Jesus can save them. And they needed to repent from their sins. And so he would tell anybody and everybody, and it seemed to shock some of them, but some of them actually accepted him, and they would respect him and say, okay, we'll take you over here, let's see what we can work out. Amen. Since you're not going to tip us off and you're a Christian, we're still going to see what we can do. Amen. But God's miraculously worked through him, amen, and done wonderful things. Amen. And so we're definitely, amen, happy about the Lord working in his life. If you have your Bibles with us, amen, I would like for you to turn to the book of Luke. And I wanted to tell another story quickly. I know time runs out. Amen. Luke chapter 16. And it's a very familiar story here. But there's a friend of mine that went to Colombia. Now, Colombia is a pretty rough place. Amen. Some of you know about Colombia. It's basically doesn't have a government anymore. It's just controlled by some drug lords. And this group controls this area. And this group controls that area. But as this preacher friend of mine, his name is Brother Chen, and I've known him, and he's a friend of mine, and he went to Colombia back maybe, I guess it's been about 6 or 8 months ago, and he was going to preach a youth convention, and he preached there, and there was about 9,000 young people there. Pretty amazing, huh? But when he walked through immigration, they looked at him and said, "You look like a preacher." And so they asked him if he was, and he said, "Well, yes, I can't lie about it. I'm a preacher." And so they stamped on his passport, "No preaching in this country." Amen. And so he went through, his baggage got kind of set back, and he got just on the platform just in time to, they turned the microphone to him. Amen. Kind of like today. And so they turned the microphone right to him, and he got up in the pulpit, and he started preaching. Well, he didn't realize that he was on about 4 radio programs. Amen. And these guys from the immigration were listening, and they said, "That sounds like the guy. Let's see what his name is." "Yeah, that's who it is." And so they sent a guy over there with a big machine gun stuck under his coat to kill him. Amen. And he come through those doors, and he said, "Well, I'll just wait to, since I know kind of how Pentecostal churches operate. I hadn't been too much in them, but I know they'll wait for an altar call. When they have an altar call, I'll go up and I'll take him out." And that's exactly what happened. He preached, but he was listening into the message, you see. And as he gave the altar call, he went up forward, but he didn't realize, amen, that there was a different kind of power in that building. And so when he reached his hand inside of his coat, he started shaking all over. Amen. He reached in there trying to pull it out, but he couldn't, and he fell over. Amen. And he got to repenting from his sins. He got to asking Jesus to forgive him, and after a while they got to noticing what was going on, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. Oh, hallelujah. He got to speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Yeah, hallelujah. He got up. He said, "Preacher, look at what I got here. I come here to kill you. Amen. But it seems like something else got a hold of me." Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad when God works? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about the other time this same brother went down to Colombia, and he got in the Coliseum, and he was preaching, and he looked around, amen, and there was about 30 witches up there. Amen. We're talking about those one that do sacrifices and stuff, them rough kind. Amen. And he was looking up in the Coliseum, and this one witch come down through the aisle and come to the front and looked at him, and he said, "I guarantee you, your God can't do what my God can." Or "you're whatever," he said. I don't know if he called it God or devil or power or whatever. And so he took some leaves and he chewed them up and ate them. And then he started spitting out $10 bills and $50 bills and I think $100 bills. And they were supposed to be real. They weren't supposed to be no fake stuff. Amen. And he said, I don't need that. Amen. My God doesn't need that. Amen. I don't have to do that. God takes care of me. And so therefore, amen, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that guy fell over. And see, those other 25 witches that were up there around the Colosseum were actually, amen, helping doing other rituals up in the Colosseum, all giving them their power to help this one man. Amen. And so they all kind of looked at when they saw that the man that was putting on the show fell over and couldn't do nothing else. They ran down to the altar and they said, we found a bigger witch, amen, than we've got. And he said, no, this is no witch. This is the power of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. This is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so all 25 of them knelt down and said, Jesus, would you save me? Oh, hallelujah. I said, Jesus is big. I said, he's big. Could you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Quickly, amen. Well, looks like time just goes before I realize it. Amen. But Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read quickly. Amen. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Amen. Wonderful kind of life. He fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Terrible sight. Amen. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and let me tell you of a worse sight. Amen. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things that I could get out of this scripture here, and this preacher has preached a lot of times on this one particular. Every preacher that I know of has probably taken this text, amen, and has preached from it. But I was looking at some things here, and I would like to take out one point. Amen. There's a message that I have preached. It's called Six Things in Hell That Should Be in the Church. Amen. Six things in hell that should be in the church. Amen. And you can go down the line and you can look at them. Lifting up the eyes. Let's lift up our eyes unto the Lord. Amen. People are in hell and they're lifting up their eyes and they're seeing. Amen. But you see, it's time for us as a church to lift up our eyes unto the Lord. Amen. And he cried. You see, when you get to hell, you're going to cry. You're going to cry with a loud voice, and you're going to see, amen, people crying and hear people crying. Oh, it's going to be a sad story. Amen. There's two types of crying. There's a cry with tears, and there's a cry with a loud voice. Amen. But this one is a cry with a loud voice. Amen. And I'm trying to hurry here. The other one is a thirst. We need a thirst, amen, to follow after the things of the Lord, because he said, I need Lazarus to come and dip his finger. Amen. Oh, that just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in in this flame, amen. And you can look at that as a thirst, a hunger thirst for righteousness, amen. And then, of course, the fourth thing is remember, having a memory, amen. Remember what God has done for us. Too often times we forget what God's done for us. He's done so much for us. Fifth, a great gulf fix. We need a separation in our day-to-day life. Amen. The church needs a separation. There's a thing called pragmatism. Amen. And that means basing your decision upon the result. It doesn't matter what happens or what, just as long as the result is good. It don't matter what method you use to bring the people in, as long as the result is good. That is a lie of the devil. Amen. In California, and she's come out on TBN, is from what I understand, amen, a transsexual, amen, and they have her preaching. She was a man, but they said, oh, she's wonderful because she can probably understand people in that same kind of condition. Hogwash, amen. Let me tell you what, we don't need to bring the world into the church to bring the world into the church. We need to have a separation. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let me go on quickly. Amen. And then, of course, the last thing there is a burden for the lost. And he prays and said, I would that you would send, amen. Oh, this man Lazarus, back to my five brethren, that they would, oh, I need you, Lord Abraham. Oh, I need you, God, to understand that back there up in earth, I have some brethren. I've got some family, and I don't want them to come to this place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me go to this one particular thing, amen, that I want to talk about. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Amen. A dangerous game. I would like to title this message, A Dangerous Game. And I've got about, I guess what, 6 or 7 minutes to finish this up here. Amen. But I would like to say, and we could go back to Samson. Amen. He saw when he lost his sight. Amen. He saw when he lost his sight. Paul saw when he lost his sight. Amen. But there's a man that lift up his eyes, and it was a little bit too late for him to lift up his eyes. He was in a devil's hell. He was in a place of torment, never to return to a place of opportunity. Let me tell you, it's better to go ahead and lift your eyes up to heaven while you have a chance. Amen. As Samson played with the game, this dangerous game. Oh, yes, it was kind of like a gamble. It was kind of like to see what would happen. Amen. He went as far as he could, and he played with it. You can't play with fire without it burning you. You can't play with danger until you are burnt, until you come down, amen, in a place. Let me tell you, the devil, amen, is a gambler, and if humans are gambling with the devil, you're gonna lose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like an animal, like a mule, going around and around and around, chained up, bound up. Amen. He found himself in the bottom parts. Amen. Oh, yes, of the city, doing the dirty work, when once he was the strongest, most feared man. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to understand that we've got to keep our eyes on heaven. Amen. While we got an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thought about an incident there with Stephen. Amen. Stephen was a man. And of course, Paul had a seed planted when he saw the martyr of Stephen. Yes? The stones were coming at him. Amen. The stones were being thrown. But do you think that Stephen saw the stones? Amen. I don't think so. Because he said he had his eyes. He was looking up. He said, oh, I see the sun. I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. Yes, sir. And he's about to receive me. You know what happens too many times, amen, is that we get our eyes upon the problems, amen, and the storms, amen, that are coming around us, when the whole time we should have our eyes on heaven. Amen. We should have our eyes looking up. Sometimes the trials look hard and the storms look rough. Amen. But I say that if we lift our eyes up into the hills from which cometh our help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Woo, hallelujah. I say we look up and see the joy of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the Lord here in this place. I tell you what, it's time that we get our eyes fixed on heaven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got to thinking, amen. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. Somehow this message just ain't going across. Amen. I don't understand. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if you understand this. Amen. But let me tell you what, there's too much material things on this earth. Amen. People wonder why there's no revival. People wonder why the Lord doesn't move. Amen. Because they got their eyes upon too much around them. Amen. They're too preoccupied. Amen. With getting the next job done, the material things of this life. Folks, we got to get our eyes on heaven. God, help us, Lord. Amen. I tell you what, I was thinking about Mexico, and you know, the Lord's done mighty things in the United States. We know the 1906 to 1909 Azusa Street, amen, and thereafter there was a lot of what we call latter rain move the Holy Ghost, amen, praise the Lord. But you know, it seems like we really don't care about that stuff anymore. Amen. I would like to see another Azusa Street. Amen. But it's going to be hard if we don't get our eyes up instead of things on this earth around us. Amen. God has done miracle after miracle in Mexico. Amen. I must say the Lord has helped people here in the United States. Amen. Have been blessed. Amen. Things have been wonderful here. And I still see the Lord moving. I still see God doing wonderful things right here in the year 2000. He has done miraculous works. Amen. Possibly right here in this church. And the next church and the next church. Amen. But amen. I understand that for individuals. Oh yes. But there to be a great awakening. And we studied that in history when I was a little boy about the great awakenings recognized by our history books. Amen. As two great awakenings across the United States. Dear God, will a third great awakening be? Amen. When the rapture takes place, it may be that. Oh, dear friend, but it would be wonderful. Amen. If we could awaken our own self and open our own eyes. Oh, yes, and see the wonderful salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've thought about, amen, that particular little girl that came, amen, and I'm going to close quickly, amen. But I saw that little girl come to me, amen. She had seizure attacks. I wasn't expecting to have no prayer line. I wasn't trying to be no faith healer, a preacher or whatever, amen. But we had a good little old revival there. We pitched a little tent. Probably about a 20 by 15. We didn't have very good music. Amen. Didn't have very good preacher either. Praise the Lord. But we had revival. God was there. The Holy Ghost was there. And that makes a difference, don't it? Amen. And I remember, amen, as I said, well, I would like to know if anybody wants to get prayed for. Well, the people didn't know what necessarily to expect. Amen. Half the people didn't even know what it was to pray for somebody. But I begin to explain to them that Jesus Christ, amen, bore the sins and also bore our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. And they said, yes, can Jesus heal? I said, yes, he can. And I said, would you like for us to pray? And I read James chapter 5. And I said, amen, if any be sick, let's pray. Amen, calling the elders of the church, anointing them with oil. Yes, and God would lift up the sick. He would raise him up. Yes. And they said, yes, is that true? I said, yes, it is. Amen. And so before I knew it, I had about 50 or 60 people that wanted me to pray for them. Amen. I said, well, this will take a while. And so we got to praying for the sick. Amen. I really felt the Lord there. But then they come to me, and this little girl had epilepsy. And I looked at the little girl. She was about 2 years old. Amen. Her eyes would cross up, go in the back of her head. She would cross her legs. She would fall on the floor. Amen. The grandmother came, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was holding that little girl. She looked up to me with the most earnest, sincere desire to see this little girl healed. Amen. It was something I couldn't resist when I saw that. It hit my heart. Amen. And I thought about Jesus. Amen. Being the great high priest. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. And I said, this is a feeling gospel. Did you know you can move the very fibers of Jesus' heart? Amen. You can move the very fibers of the emotions of God. Yes. Why? Because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands our situations. And he feels our sicknesses. Yes. He's our great high priest. He understands us. That's how Jesus can heal us, because he's moved with compassion. Yes, he's moved with compassion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And I looked at that little girl. I was reading also in Acts, and I'm gonna hurry up and tell the story. But in Acts, last night we're reading devotions, and it was talking about in Iconium. Amen. When I believe it was Peter. It may have been Paul. Paul looked at one of them there that had been lame for about 8 years. And he said, hey. And he said, looking at him, he perceived that he had faith to believe. He looked at him and said he perceived that he had faith to believe. Amen. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, but if God comes by, amen, he can perceive if you've got faith to believe. Amen. When Paul walked by, he had enough of the Holy Ghost to look into those eyes and see that man had enough faith. He felt it in his spirit. And he said, this man can be healed. Therefore, get up and make strength made to your bones. And he got up. Amen. Amen. Many times Jesus said, by your faith be it whole. Be it made whole. Yes, by your faith be it so. Yes, by your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Many times all it is just our faith. Well, Jesus can heal. The preacher can't. Amen. I heard somebody talking about Benny Hinn. Somebody said, well, Benny Hinn says he feels a numbness go all through his body or something like that. I forget what they told me. I'm not going to get in trouble preaching against Benny Hinn here, am I? Amen. Said he feels a numbness go all through his body. And says that he can heal people. Amen. Said back in Oral Roberts was talking about how that supposedly he felt a numbness. And when he touched the people, they were healed. Amen. Who is trying to get the credit? Amen. I've always found that the distinction between these faith healers and true Pentecostal holiness preachers is when they want God to get the glory. Oh, yes. I tell you what, you can go all over the country chasing down these people. Amen. For them to lay hands on you, for you to be healed. Amen. When the whole time, right here in Highway of Holiness, amen, in Hamilton, Ohio, you got a preacher, amen, that can connect with the Holy Ghost. Can lay hands on you and you can be healed. Woo! Yeah.
Lord, I don't know how I got away from my subject. Amen. But I looked at that little girl. Amen. And I looked at her, and there's something that moved within me. Something that just stirred within me. And I said, I believe that she can be healed. But when I got to praying, the devil come by and said, have you ever heard, amen, of somebody having epilepsy that's ever gotten healed? Amen. Has somebody ever seen anybody personally that's had epilepsy that might hear somebody, seen them get healed? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's rare to see. I've asked that question in several churches, and many people's looked at me and kind of shook their head no. And you know, I've been raised in church and raised in holiness, and I never saw anybody get healed that had epilepsy. And about that time, my eyes went from looking up to looking down. My eyes went from looking to Jesus, amen, to look down. I kind of backed away. And I just felt like maybe there was no hope. Amen, why am I praying? And the Holy Ghost come by and re-ask that question. Yeah, why are you praying? Why are you praying? And about that time it struck me. I'm praying so they could get healed. I'm praying so they could get healed. Amen. I'm praying for these people because they're in a problem. They're in a sickness. They're in a sorrow. Their family. And I'm praying for them to get healed. Yes, and then Jesus come by, the Holy Ghost come by and said, well, if you're praying for them to get healed, pray. Pray then. And if you're not going to pray for them to get healed, don't pray. Oh, hallelujah. And I put my hands back on that little girl's head, and I said, Jesus, I said, would you heal? Yes, hallelujah. And about that time, I don't know, it just seemed like I just felt it. I said, lady, don't give that little girl any more of those pills. I don't know why I said it. I have no idea why I said it. Amen. But she went away. And the next Wednesday, the doctor said, I don't understand. We've run a lot of tests on this girl. We've put the cephalogram on her. And she's had epilepsy until now. But we can't find it anymore. We don't know what's going wrong. Jesus is still in the healing business. Woo, hallelujah. I said, get your eyes on Jesus. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh God, could you stand to your feet quickly if we have a piano player? Amen. Amen. Quickly, is there someone here, amen, that would raise their hands, every head bowed and every eye closed? Amen. If there's a sinner in this building, amen, just quickly, there's a sinner in this building, you don't know the Lord, I give you an opportunity, amen, to come to this altar. Quickly, quickly, raise your hands. Give your heart to the Lord. Amen. If there's no one, could we all gather around this altar and have a season of prayer? Amen. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you. Pray for us.